portion of the text you heard just previously from the book of Acts. And when they had spoken the word in Persia, they went down to Aquila, and from there they sailed to Antioch, which they had been commended through the grace of God for the work which they had accomplished. And when they had arrived and gathered the church together, they began to report all things that God had done with them, and how he had opened a door of faith to the Gentiles. Dear Christian friends, a line from one of my favorite prayers reads, "Lord, make me an instrument of your truth." In that line, the author asks God to make him into a tool, something that God can use for his own purpose. All of us here this morning are tools in our Lord's hands. But because we are what we are, men who have fallen short of the glory of God, and we do have some degree of success at what we undertake, we oftentimes forget to whom we owe the credit. Who it was that allows us to serve. As students, we struggle through our classes, complete field work, and in many cases, try to make our families happy with all our business. And at the end of the quarter, when the grades come out, and if our families have reached some semblance of happiness, who do we give the credit to? We write a good sermon and deliver it on Sunday morning. And as the people go out the door, they smile at you and they say, "Beautiful message today, very nice job." And who do we give the credit to? For many of us, because we are men, we want to take, if not all the credit, at least some of it. We did the work, didn't we? Pride and arrogance is a trap that we can all fall into. Our text this morning has something to say about that, at least by way of example. You might recall that the incident from our text took place on Paul's first missionary tour. Paul and Barnabas, at the beginning of chapter 13, had tried to preach the gospel in Iconium and Lystra. In Lystra, the people tried to make them God, taking Barnabas to be his, and Paul, because he was so eloquent, to be attorney. Paul and Barnabas attempted to straighten the people out, but the people in Lystra were not convinced. That is, until some Jews came along and had convinced them. Now the crowd was angry, and they dragged Paul out of the city and stoned him, leaving him for dead. Paul didn't die. When his friends came after him, he got up and promptly went back into the city. The next day, Paul and Barnabas went to Derbe and had a successful ministry there. Before work completed at Derbe, Paul and Barnabas head back to Antioch by way of Lystra and Iconium, drinking the souls of the disciples that they had brought the good news to along the way. When Paul and Barnabas finally arrived back in Antioch, the text says, "We gathered the church together and declared all that God had done with them, and how he opened the door of faith to the Gentiles." Notice that Paul and Barnabas didn't say what they had done, but what God was able to accomplish through them. I believe that's an important lesson for all of us. Last year, I remember talking to a lady
particular congregation. And I was asking her to, I wanted to ask her to come and do some work for the church. And she very carefully explained to me that she had been at the church for 10 years and had worked there all that time. And she went into detail of all that she had done in that church and all that she had accomplished. She wasn't very happy working there, though. She had done a good job during that time, but she took all the credit and gave none to the one who didn't credit the Jew. She had given no credit to the one who had made her ministry of that congregation so successful. Had she given the credit to God, I believe she might have had a happier time there. Paul gave the credit to the one who deserves the credit. He knew who it was that had delivered him from the stoning and had picked him up and allowed him to march triumphantly back into that city. He knew who it was that had made his first missionary tour so successful. God worked with good pleasure in Paul and Bible. We are our instruments that God uses for his purpose. For if we try to do it on our own, by ourselves, as proud men and arrogant men do often, without the help of God, our successes will be limited, and we open ourselves up for failure. But you and I are lucky. We have been called by a gracious and merciful God to follow his only Son, who died on a cross of our making and rose again that we might serve him. And he does not abandon us in that service. He sends his Holy Spirit to us daily. We come to him and supplies all our needs and will guide us to his good purpose. An action, an old dusty beat up island face lay on the table. And when it came time for this violin to go on the block, the auctioneer opened up the case, he picked up the violin, and he showed it to his crowd. It didn't look like much. It was tall, it seemed, it looked like it could play. But he tried to open up the bidding. He said, "Who will give me $100? No response. "Who will give me $75? Again, no response. "Who will give me $50? "Who will open the bidding with $50? No response. And the little man in the back of the room came up to the front where the auctioneer was standing. He carefully took the violin out of the man's hand. The poor man cleaned up the violin carefully. He took it there with some rosin on it and played it. And then that violin came some of the most beautiful music that people had ever heard. And the man had finished, he handed the violin back to the auctioneer. The auctioneer said, "Who will give me $25? And immediately, the bidding started ferociously and got quite cheap. All that violin needed was the touch of the master's hand. This too is what each and every one of us needs. Though we're not violins, we are instruments that the Lord our Master can use for his own purpose. And when he does use us as he did Paul and Barnabas, we need to remember who it was that prayed us. Who it is who deserves the credit.